one key idea from Jesus when he says in the book of John, "My Father is always at work, and to this very day I too am working." God is at work. And our job as believers, number one, is simply to see. This is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We have to notice what God is already doing in the world. It's really, really easy to overlook the activity of God in the world because we just get so busy. We have our little routines, and we tend to do the same things over and over and over. And so what that means is it's super easy to adopt tunnel vision, where you only see God's work in activity in certain ways, but you miss him in other ways. And so we have to learn how to live with eyes wide open. We talked about this idea that the real picture of what's going on in the world often requires a long gaze. You have to look at it for a while. So a few weeks ago, we passed out these decoder glasses. And you're able to put the glasses on and see one thing, but then when the glasses are on, you see something different. If you have glasses, I want you to get your glasses out because we're going to show you some things that you'll need your glasses for. If you don't have your glasses, but you have your cell phone and you have the Memoria Road app on your cell phone, you can also access digital decoder glasses by going to the MRCC app and then clicking on the Mission Sunday tab, and then you'll find at the very bottom a something you can click on, which will give you a simulation of red glasses. So I'm going to show you three pictures. So I want you to put your glasses on after you see the picture and then try to guess what it is. So go ahead and put the first picture up here. So put your glasses on, and when you figure out what it is, just say it out loud. All right, let's just say it out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. It's a sling. It's a sling. I don't know, some of you didn't say that, but it's a sling. It's definitely a sling. And what would a sling have to do with anything, with the mission of God? I want you to stay tuned. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Next picture. All right, put your glasses on or look at your phones. What is that? Let's say it on three. One, two, three. It's a hearing aid. So what would a hearing aid have to do with the mission of God? Again, stay tuned. We're going to find out in just a minute. And then final picture, a little bit different. Pretty interesting picture here. Put this last one up here. So I'm just going to read this one to you if you don't have your glasses on here. This is a picture of Andy Lashley, Carla Taylor, and Scott Young. And you've heard a lot of news from the NBA about all these trades happening. Well, it's affected Memorial Road as well. We have traded Andy, Carla, and Scott away for extra communion supplies. So it's just, you know, it's slim times, and you got to cut somewhere. I want to show you a video which helps illustrate this idea that if you're just open to what God's doing, then you can learn to see it and respond to it. We've been working with an orphanage called the Village of Hope for a long time in Africa. And the work that we've done is primarily one thing, but Kerry Laxon, Aubrey Ross, and several others saw an opportunity from God to do something completely different. So I want you to watch this video to see what they did.
As part of our January 2018 visit to Ghana, the Heartbeat for Hope team performed hearing screenings for the children at the Village of Hope. During that visit, we screened 92 children, and out of that 92 children, 39 failed the hearing screening. The high prevalence of hearing loss in children in Ghana is really attributed to two factors. The first is the lack of early medical intervention. In this case, it would be catching the ear infections early on and treating them. But also it's a result of child slavery, where the children are forced to work for fishermen and made to dive into deep waters to retrieve fish from nets, often resulting in perforated eardrums. So once we returned from that January visit, we raised funds to have the children formally evaluated by their local audiologist, to have ear molds made, get hearing aid batteries, but also provide any follow-up care that would be needed once they received their hearing aids. And then we reached out through social media, just asking anyone if they had hearing aids that they could donate to the 8 children that were in immediate need of amplification. And God just provided the right people at the right time, and we were able to acquire all 8 hearing aids that we needed for those children. And then we teamed up with a local audiologist here in Oklahoma City that donated her time and resources to program all of these aids to meet the individual hearing needs for each 8 children. We also took the children to their local audiologist to have them fitted for their new aids. And really, considering all of the children, their significant hearing loss, they all adjusted really well to their hearing aids for the first time. Matthew was the youngest recipient of hearing aids, and he had a profound loss in both ears. When the audiologist turned his hearing aids on for the first time, he asked Matthew, "Can you hear me?" In which Matthew responded so seriously, "No." And so it took him a little bit to adjust, but he did adjust really well. Our partnership now with the local audiologist in Ghana will help provide early identification and ongoing care for the children with hearing impairments at the Village of Hope.
Isn't that an amazing story of what they've done? Let's give God a round of applause. Because the key here is that all these volunteers that have been going to Africa for years, no one would have ever thought 10 years ago that we'd be helping these 8 children who were mistreated by their masters and now can't hear. No one would have ever thought that we would be the ones helping give them hearing aids. But Carrie and Aubrey and others went over there with eyes wide open. What is God doing in this part of the world? How could we respond? You see, when you live your life that way, what happens is you actually start seeing opportunities that God might be calling you to be involved with. And so what part of the reason we give every year is because some of this money goes to campaigns just like Carrie took, which further these kinds of causes. In fact, that special request line item was the impetus or the cause of the original trip that happened, which led eventually to these hearing aids for these kids. In order to expect the unexpected, we have to learn how to see. The second thing we learned, which this was last week, once you see something, you got to do something about it. You have to learn to act on what you see. So Jesus says this in the end of the Sermon on the Mount. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." It does you no good to see what God is doing and not do anything about it. It doesn't do God any good for his children to observe his activity but not take the steps to actually join his activity. So this is the second step. Once you discern what God is doing in your life through your relationships or your job or your family or just these inner promptings we have in our hearts, once you discern what God is doing in your life or in the world, you have to have the courage to act. I want to tell you a story about one of the men we support named Manny Pakatapalli, and he's a missionary in the country of India, which is it's a very different climate than here in Bible Belt America. So in the country of India, 80% of the people are Hindu, and so that makes his job very, very different. In our part of the world, we're familiar with Muslim radicals. They make their way into the media. We hear stories about them. Well, in India, there is such a thing as Hindu radicals, and it's very similar. They terrorize people. In fact, just a few months ago, there's a very small sect of the most radical Hindu radical terrorists that invaded this Catholic school, and they attacked the nuns, and they attempted to strangle these nuns with their rosary beads. So this is the climate that these people are trying to do ministry over across the world. Well, a few years ago, Manny made friends with 3 Hindu priests, and he started studying scripture with these Hindu priests, explaining to them that there's this man named Jesus, and he's the savior of the world. And over the course of time, these 3 priests abandoned their positions at their temples, and they all became Christians. In fact, one of them was so fired up and excited about his newfound faith in Jesus that he attended this preacher training school to learn more about the gospel. This man's name was Rao. And so Rao gets trained in the gospel, and then he decides to do something pretty crazy. He goes back to his original village, just outside the temple area where for years he would stand as a Hindu priest offering prayers to Hindu gods, and he stood there now as a messenger of the gospel, and he started telling everybody about Jesus. Well, after a few days of doing this, these Hindu radicals found out about it, and they confronted him. They took him out to an area of the city, and they started beating him senselessly. They broke quite a few of his bones. It's a miracle that he didn't die. And so Rahu goes to the hospital to try to recover from this beating, and then something really interesting happens. A lot of the village people that used to come to the temple when he was a Hindu priest, they started visiting him in the hospital. And from his hospital bed, he started telling them that his temporary earthly ailments were nothing compared to the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. And so Rahu started preaching the gospel to these people while he was in the hospital bed. And so then over the course of several days, this is crazy, hit this next slide, Rahu baptized 32 Hindus with a broken arm. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you talk about expecting the unexpected. Like, here's this work in India, and Manny's doing all this great work studying with people, but who would have ever thought that this Hindu priest would then become a Christian and then get beat up and then start baptizing people with a broken arm? I mean, it's crazy what God can do if you just pay attention and then you have the courage to act on what you see. We have to see the work of God in the world, and then we have to act on it. See, we talked about this last week. Awareness without action leads to apathy. So if you see what God's doing in the world, but you don't do anything about it, eventually that really starts to negatively affect your own soul, and you become very apathetic about life. We see, and then we act. And let me give you one more thing that we do to further the mission of God in the world. It's really what today is all about. We give. Paul could not preach if he didn't have provision. Many, or any of our other missionaries, they can't do what they do without funding. Even Jesus, as he walks throughout the earth, he relies on the generosity of other people to get by. He's always staying at different people's houses. He's relying on other people for meals, for transportation. Giving is the gasoline that ignites the mission of God. So Paul writes about this very idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So what's going on here is in Jerusalem, there's a big famine. So a lot of people are poor and they don't have a lot. And Paul is writing a letter to Corinth, and he's asking them to give of their money so they can help these people in a totally different region of the world, people that they'll probably never see. But Paul knows that their money can help these people in poverty. And so he writes this really interesting paragraph about the heart of generosity. And here's what he says, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. This service that you perform, he's talking about giving, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And the key phrase here in this verse is this little phrase, but is also. Because what Paul's getting at here is that giving is much more than just linear cause and effect. There's a lot more that's going on when it comes to being generous for somebody else. Being generous for somebody else is more than just putting food on their table. There's more that goes to it. In fact, Paul explains what the more is. Verse 13, because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everybody else. So this gift that the Corinthians give the poor in Jerusalem, it prompts them to praise the Lord. Now, the Corinthians have never met these people. And so what exactly is Paul getting at here? Paul is saying, hey, guys, this church is now singing praises to God because of your generosity. Your gift did more than that you thought that it would do. You see, giving always proves to be more than just transactional. In fact, I actually saw this just last night. We had a mini family reunion with my mom's side of the family, and we were saying goodbye to some people last night, and I have an aunt and uncle, and I never get to see them very often, and they give these very small gifts to my kids. It's a small Target gift card and a pack of candy, and they give these gifts to my children as we're leaving, and this prompts quite a bit of celebration. I mean, we've got laughter and giggling and squealing and jumping up and down and hugging, and like you would have thought this was like a New Year's Eve celebration. Like this, it was just a party in the entryway of my house or my parents' house, and you know, Heidi's holding up candy called Runts, and she's like, "Dad, I don't know what these are, but I'm excited to eat them." And you know, Anna holds up a pack of Skittles, and she's like, "Daddy, I got Skittles. I'm going to share some with you." And I'm like, "You absolutely are going to share those with me, because you know I love Skittles." But you think about it, it's just a little Target gift card, and it's just some candy. And yet the celebration was so big. You see, here's the point. The effect of giving is always greater than the cost of giving. The effect of giving is greater than the cost of giving. And sometimes we get so bogged down with our spreadsheets and the dollars and cents, and we get kind of tense about giving. But what Paul is saying is that there's a lot more that's going to happen if you just be generous and you give. And in fact, he goes on, verse 14, he says, and, so like the celebration continues, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given us. So not only is the collection prompting praise, it also fueled this prayer revival. And so the recipients are now lifting up the givers to the throne room of God. I mean, it's amazing how much happens when people simply give. See, you can't predict the activity of God, but you can give to it. And you can celebrate it when it happens. So we have one more video that we want to show you, and I love this video because it shows the multifaceted way in which our gifts go through God to bless the world in ways that we never would have thought or expected. So watch this video.
Welcome aboard British Airways, please. Make sure your seatbelt is in the upright position.
Wir kennen Neues. Jetzt sprost es hervor.
So handelt ihr wie wahre Kinder eures Vaters im Himmel.
Hello, my name is Laura, and I believe in Jesus. And the first time I came here to this church, it was like, wow, it felt like they are my family. But this is actually what we have to do. From the Bible.
Loud, he found us through Instagram of all places. He's a very famous chef. He sort of was posting his food online. One of our members has a wife from Ghana, and Loud is also Ghanaian. And so they connected on Instagram because she saw his food and saw that he was from Ghana, and they started talking.
And that kind of was a snowball effect as well, of not forcing friendship, but really leaning into it, relaxing into it, let it happen, let the Lord work through it and bring us to other people.
At the beginning, when we started, the women were kind of closed and they were not sharing a lot. They had lots of pain. They had lots of insecurities, so low self-esteem. Lots of brokenness. So now, after a couple of years of doing this ministry, we can see how the Lord healed them.
Creo que hay mucha gente que necesita de la palabra de Dios. Muy muy pocos lugares donde hay iglesias, y creo que el pueblo, las personas, espero que nos puedan aceptar la palabra de Dios en ese lugar. Queremos hacer crecer la iglesia, servir al Señor, expandir el reino de Dios, dedicar nuestro tiempo. Familia al servicio del Señor.
Estamos muy agradecidos con la Iglesia de Memoria. No hay palabras para expresar tanto agradecimiento por todo lo que hacen por nosotros, por nuestras familias aquí en Cuba. Seguimos pidiendo sus oraciones por todo el trabajo para hacerlo mejor para nuestro Dios.
¿Y ahí, Josué? ¿Y ahí? ¿Está bom?
We are here in the city called Montemor. This is a church plant from the Campo Grande church plant. It's a very poor area of the city, but the people here are so nice. They are so on fire for Jesus. In front of us here, you can see these two lots. These two lots belonged to Josué, who is the preacher here, to his sister. This front part of her lot used to be a bar. She owned a bar, and she lived in the back of the property before she became a member of the Lord's Church. After she became a member, of course, she finished with that bar. 12 to 15 members were all converted to Jesus, and this is where they're meeting now, as a temporary place until they can buy a lot and build their own buildings.
The Lighthouse Medical Ministries is the free clinic that Memorial Road sponsors in the inner city. They want to know what's behind the compassion. They want to know why people could care so much.
Our God is interested in the people that are vulnerable. Children, widows, poor, sick. In a Capitol Hill, we try to share God's love with them so they will have a chance to be redeemed. And that's what we spend our time on and work on every week.
When we sit across the table from young men and young women, teenagers, and we hear the stories, you realize pretty quickly that if Jesus were walking around the earth today, that these are the people that he would be calling to himself. The weak, the scared, the abused, but also the people that are seeking something more.
Is always working to this very day. He's at work, and if you just open your eyes and just see the activity of God, you're going to see something you hadn't seen before.
Don't become weary of well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not.
Father, may we ever seek your power to be a city on a hill and a light into the world, serving and loving so as to change the world as we know it.
If your fingerprints are going to show up in God's story, it's not going to be because of what you think. It'll be because of what you did.
The greatest encouragement is always praying. And when we know that people are in the States praying for us, it means a lot to us.
And our prayer is that we can continue to be partners in sharing God's wonderful gospel for many, many years.
See, giving is a lot more than just cause and effect. Think about all the things that just happened in that video, everything from the simplest cup of coffee that someone has with someone else that in Europe, to the relationships that are built on the soccer fields, to the buildings that are built in Brazil. You have no idea. You have no idea what God could do through a dollar. And so our job as Christians is not to be so tense and meticulous that we give out of a sense of begrudgery. Think about this. Scripture does not tell us to give analytically. Scripture tells us to give generously. And so don't wait for another season of life to be generous. Generosity has nothing to do with how much money you have. It's a state of heart. And if you can't be generous now with what you have now, then you're not going to be generous a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, with whatever God gives you then. Be generous with what you have now, because you have no idea with what God can do with your generosity. Paul ends this section of Scripture by saying this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, at the end of the day, it all goes back to God. It's not your money, it's not my money, it's his. It's his gifts, and we're simply giving them back to him. And so I'm telling you, there are people that woke up this morning and you've never met them, but they're praying so intensely for this moment, in this day, in this time, in this place, because what you do in the next few moments really does change real people and real lives. Generosity is the fuel for the mission of God. So I'm going to offer a prayer, and then I see most of our shepherds are already in the back, and after this prayer, our shepherds are going to pass collection baskets for our special offering. Let's bow in prayer. God, you are a giver. You give life. You give breath. You give love. You give peace. You give grace. You give freely. You gave your son. And Father, we praise you for your work, your constant work. We praise you for your activity and your movement in the world. We praise you for working through mission teams to give hearing aids to abused children. We praise you for working through beat down former Hindu priests to lead to the salvation of many people. We praise you for every drop of water given to the thirsty, for every meal given to the hungry, for every home opened up to a stranger. We praise you for every hug, for every smile, for every baptism, for every Bible study. We praise you because you are the giver of all good gifts. It all derives from you. You are the great giver. And so in this moment, Father, open our hearts to be just like you. Help us to give freely from what you have freely given us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.